We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh, got it! Got it! Got it! 33! Center field, Marsh leaps, and he got it!
Is it normally?
High fly ball, deep left field. Oh, 27! Does it again!
For this year.
Wall sends it well out to left center field! And it's gone!
This is Brandon Marsh, the Los Angeles Angels baseball. You listen to All Angels Podcasts.
And welcome to another edition of the All Angels Podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Garcia. So you know from time to time we like to reach out and talk to some of the minor leaguers around this organization. And that's what we're doing in this episode when we talk to David McKinnon. He is the Salt Lake Beast first baseman, and he has such a great May that led to him being the Pacific Coast League's Player of the Month. David has had a very interesting story as far as his minor league career, from suffering a major knee injury to using that time to retool his swing, and now he has definitely found what is working for him, and he's having an absolute great year for AAA Salt Lake. So we talk about that. We talk about the difference between him as a minor leaguer when he was younger to now. We talk about, obviously, fatherhood. He's a new father, and because I am a big golfer, and you should know that by now, whenever I find out that the player we talk to is a golfer, I like to get his opinion on certain things and just talk a little bit about that. And we talk about how the Salt Lake Bees are having a lot of fun doing just that, going out there and playing golf with each other. So here is the interview with David McKinnon. I want to welcome our next guest, new guest to the All Angels Podcast. He is the first baseman for the Salt Lake Bees, David McKinnon. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me. It's nice to be on.
Yeah, I'm glad we're able to get on and make this work. And first off, I want to congratulate you because you are the PCL Player of the Month of May. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's crazy. You know, I was kind of just on a bit of a heater from May. Making a couple, I think I was just making, honestly, some adjustments to the new league in April, and combination of it just being a little chillier, a ball not flying, and me kind of making adjustments to AAA pitching and how they're going to pitch you and try to get you out. And I think once those adjustments were made, and I kind of was able to form an approach on what I was trying to do at the plate, it kind of started to click a little bit and just started to hit balls a little harder. And so, yeah, it was a good month of May for sure.
Yeah, you mentioned you got off to a little bit of a slow start, but you obviously you're kind of coming into your own right now. Talk about that jump from, you know, double A, you know, when you were with the Rocky City Trash Pandas, where you still had a really good year there, to triple A. How big of a gap is that?
So, I mean, I think personally, the biggest gap, like talent-wise, would probably be from high A to double A. So I think that last year was probably the biggest jump. I went through a big swing change. I blew my knee out in 2019, mm-hmm. So I didn't really play at all in 19. And then 2020 was COVID. So I had like 2 years off of baseball. And I pretty much got to like reinvent my swing. So when I did make that jump from high A to double A in 2021, I was more than ready because my swing was where it needed to be. It was like mechanically the best it had ever been. And I was really able to like focus on what I was trying to do with plate and my approach, and just being a little bit more adjustable and being able to adjust to off-speed pitches better. So I think that could have been a lot harder if I hadn't changed my swing. But I think the biggest thing from the jump from double A to triple A is just they throw more strikes. The zone's a little bit smaller. Just the umpires are better, you know. As you go up to every level, the umpires get better. Now we have the robot umpires, and that's kind of weird. But, yeah, no, I think, honestly, the biggest difference is just they throw more off-speed pitches for strikes here. So as long as you can, like, stay off the good off-speed pitches that they want you to swing at and just swing at the ones that they kind of leave over the middle, you'll be good. But if you chase their executed pitches, it can get harder, so. I think it's probably getting a little closer to the big leagues. I think the big leagues has a lot more velocity, though, where I think the bullpens in AAA have the velo, and the starters are usually kind of the guys that are, 90 to 94, not like throwing flames typically, you know?
Right. So you talked about your knee injury in 2019. I was actually at the game when that happened, you running to first base. Talk about that, how it was a torn ACL, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So, you hear an injury like that, the first thing you think of was like a football injury or something like that. Yeah. How was that recovery for you? And what was, you're in the minor league, you're in the, single A, so it's kind of like the beginning of your career. What was kind of like your mindset when all this stuff was happening?
Well, first, I think I wasn't in a good headspace anyway when I started that season, because I had already had a good season last year at High A in Inland Empire. Mm-hmm. And then, so I assumed and I went to that fall league that fall. So I was assuming that they'll just send me to double A. But they didn't get sent to double A. So I was back in High A again. I did a good job the prior year and didn't get a promotion, So just like any job. Like, if you deserve promotion and you don't get one, they hire some other person that was on a different organization. It kind of stinks, and it's just a sucky situation at the time, So, I mean, it took me probably a week to get over that. After that, I was just grinding. I was hitting some balls hard at the beginning. I only played 2.5 weeks.
Right.
But I hit some balls hard, and then I just couldn't buy a hit for a little while. And the swing just kept getting, it got worse and worse. But it was only 2.5 weeks of baseball, so I don't know how bad it could really be.
It's such a short sample, yeah.
Yeah, such a short sample. And then all of a sudden, I remember I'm on the way, because we were living with our host family in Corona or Eastvale, kind of a half hour away from the field. And I remember just driving over there and just praying. And I was I just can't do this slump anymore. This is just too much. I got to get out of this. And I blow my knee out that night. And I was yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. It was just a bad throw up the line. I'm running to first. The first baseman comes off the base. I kind of try to cut late around them, and my knee just explodes. And it was ACL, MCL, meniscus. So it was a lot. It was a lot of stuff. I went, started the rehab. I got surgery a month later, started the rehab. I'm trying to think. Probably 3 months after surgery, I was begging to start swinging again, because I had done 3 months worth of research, not research, but I studied swings, and I looked at Mike Trout's swing and Vlad Guerrero Jr.'s swing, because in my opinion, those are the coolest swings and the best swings.
Right.
And the swings that you really can't teach. They just do things like they're freaks. They do things that normal people can't do. And I just wanted to see what they do that I don't do. The only thing I saw is they both consistently, when they land, that front foot lands, they're in just a really powerful position with their hands right around their shoulder height, and both feet are in the ground. And when that front foot lands, that hip is just that front hip's closed. So I was I just need to get to that position as consistently as possible. Like, am I going to do it as much as Mike Trout and Vlad Jr.? No, but like, probably not. But like, the goal is to do it as much as them, because then you'll have the ability to hit the ball a little bit better. Am I going to hit the ball as hard as them? No, because they're freaks. Like, we get that. But if I can hit a ball 106 to 108, it's still a homer. You know, I'll might not it. Go 500 feet, but
400, go, just, yeah, 405 and 405 is cool too.
Like, yeah, that works. It covers. It doesn't matter. It still counts as one. But so that's kind of what that whole. It was a blessing in disguise, the injury, like a big blessing in disguise. So I wouldn't change anything for it. I think it honestly saved my career because it gave me that time off where I actually got to like go and change what I needed to change. It gave me like 2 years pretty much to make the adjustments that I needed, that I would have never had 2 years to make an adjustment. You know, you don't get COVID and injury. So,
right. Yeah. And it's really, like I said, it's really shown too, with your numbers you've had at Double A Rocket City last year. And then obviously this year at Triple A Salt Lake. You know what, obviously that had to do a lot of the mental part of it too. Is that kind of like your thing? Like, you got to get right mentally before you can even really worry about performing physically, you know, study the film, try to tweak things here and there when possible.
Yeah. I think for me too, it's like mentally back then when I was coming up in like high A, low A, like if I didn't feel good in at bat, like the first at bat or second at bat, I'm like, oh man, this could be rough. But like now it's like, I've put all the work in, like now at bat to at bat, I'm like pretty, I haven't had like a day where I've gone back. Like I can go 0-4 or 0-5 one day, but I'm like, I saw the ball pretty good. And like, I put good swings on the ball. I just, sometimes though, they don't like, sometimes pitchers just get you out, you know?
Right.
Like, they have it's not an easy job, but they definitely have the easier of the job. Cause if we hit 300, we're good. Like,
right.
If they let us hit 300, they're bad, you know? So for them, I think for us, it's like their job, they're supposed to get us out. So you're just supposed to hit the mistakes they throw you. Once you start thinking of it like that, like, I'm just going to go up there and I'm just going to grind out at bats, try to feel good and comfortable at the plate, see the ball well, like, becomes a little bit easier to hit than if you're just chasing hits or just chasing right. like average or any of that stuff. If you're just looking for a good pitch to hit and trying to hit it hard, like, I mean, I can hit a ball hard right at someone and I'm still out, but I mean, I did my job.
Right.
He,
yeah.
Yeah. You know, everyone did their job on that play. He got me out, third baseman or the left fielder caught the ball. Like, that's just baseball. So
one of the things you brought up a little bit earlier was the automated umpire. And there's a lot of talk about that coming to the major leagues and how that's going to affect that kind of product. As a hitter that obviously has been in the minor leagues for a little bit before this system, and obviously your whole baseball career, college, high school, never had it. How's it adjusting to that? How is it different? How is it good? How is it bad? Is there any good? Is there any bad to it?
Yeah, I think, I certainly think for hitters, it's better for them right now. There's a lot of pitches that aren't being called strikes that, at our level that were called strikes prior. Cause in April, all the way till like May 17th, we were using just like people, like human umpires. Yeah. It's regular baseball. And then they switched it over and all of a sudden like that outside corner got a little bit smaller. So, and right now to explain, like the robot umpire, like the zone is they give an extra inch on each side of the plate.
Okay.
So like they're making a 19 inch plate already. And they made like pretty much this zone has made the outside corner smaller. So I don't know how big the outside corner actually was when the humans were when the regular
umpires. It changed. It seems like it changed every day. So
yes.
You never really know.
Yeah. So you don't know. For me, for a guy like me who has like a pretty good eye at the plate and like wants to control the strike zone, I think I like it. I want it to be a consistent strike zone every single day. You know, I do think 19 inches across the zone, like there's a reason the plate is 17 inches wide, you know? So, and it's like, it's not like it has to cross, like only like a little seam of the baseball has to touch the 19 right. inches and it's called a strike. It's not like the whole baseball's got to cross. So that ends up being close to like a baseball's 2 inches wide. That ends up being almost 2 inches extra on each side. So that's a lot to protect. I think it just needs to go to 17 inches personally because the pitchers, I mean, they're so good now. They don't need help. Yeah. They're going to find a way to get the ball to barely touch the corners, you know?
Yeah. And my whole thing too, with it, and I've talked to like friends and stuff like that about, I'm like, if as a batter, if you know, you know, if it's half a ball off the plate, it's going to be a strike every time. At least you know it. It's not going to change, you know,
yeah,
day to day or whatever.
No, yeah, that's a big thing too. And like, you don't want, you see that Otani's, like Otani has some of the worst calls in the league, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable how an MVP gets some of the calls that he gets. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I know that the big league umpires are unbelievable, typically. Like, they just are. They're almost like robots, but I mean, just depends. Like, do you want the room for error or the human error, or do you want the, like, if you have the ability to do, like, I'm not voting yes or no, because I know how good the big league umpires are, but I just know that as hitters, we've thought that the zone's like pretty consistent. And it's a little bit easier to, I mean, we still get some where we're like, really, that's a strike, but it's usually the inside corner just because that extra inch on the inside corner, like, it's kind of hard to hit the extra inch, but, I mean, other than that, I think it's, we've enjoyed it.
That's good. That's good. Cause I really, as a fan, I think that'd be something cool to see once it is up in the major leagues, you get more of a consistency. And, you know, as fans, you're always like, well,
they also don't get that call. You can't complain.
Right.
I can't turn around and cuss the umpire out because like,
that wasn't my call.
Yeah, it's not his call.
But yeah, how does it work? Does he have like a, something in his ear?
It's a headphone. Yeah. Okay. It just says like, I don't know what it says,
but he'll make the motion. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it says like pretty much immediately. And then he says ball or strike. But gotcha. Yeah, it's interesting for sure.
So besides your player of the month this month and this season, you had something else change your life at the beginning of this baseball season in March, and that is your baby boy.
Yes.
How has having a child now with everything going on, baseball, you know, your career and everything, how's that changed for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of crazy. This spring training was wild because like my wife was pregnant, like 8.5 months pregnant when spring training started. So I was kind of just like had my phone out at the field every day, like hoping that like I didn't get the call until the day that like she was going to go in and have the, like get, have an induction. So we had it like planned ish, you know, but yeah, you can't really plan everything. Yeah. So I remember I flew out like, I think it was like March 15th and then the baby came the 16th and it was just, yeah, I stayed home for about a week, and helped out and yeah, it was just crazy, you know? So then I had to go back to spring training and they came out for a first long homestand and they're out here now for this homestand. So it's awesome. Obviously when they're here, there's a little less sleep just cause the newborn, but
baby duty. Yep.
Yes, baby duty. But yeah, no, it's been awesome. The guys are all joking. They're like, "Oh man, you got dad strength. Like, where's this coming from?" I was like, I guess it could be a thing. I don't know, but yeah, it's funny. But I think it just puts a different perspective on baseball. You know, I already had, I kind of had the perspective of baseball is what you do. It's not who you are at that point, like after the injury, but it just further like adds to that kind of, mentality that like yesterday I went 0 for 3. I mean, I had good at bats, but just didn't get hits and You just go back and you play with the baby and hang out, you know, it's like, you're just a regular person. Yeah. You don't, obviously you care about like playing well, but I pretty much after the at bat ends, I just stop like every at bat I go up there. Yeah, you move on. It's a lot easier to move on because you got other things, you know. So I think a lot of like fans are always thinking like oh man, they got to play better, like they got to do better. It's like we want to play really well, but like we want to play as well as we can, you know, we're there, we're working hard every single day in the morning, like not in the morning, but in the afternoon, we get there early, like get our swings in. Everyone wants to play good, but like, we're also regular people where when we leave the office or for us, like the clubhouse, like we're not thinking about baseball anymore. Like you're not going to catch me watching a baseball game at home, you know, trying to get away from it. So I think he's just another easy way to get away from baseball and it's awesome.
Yeah, no one's out there trying to go 0 for 3, 0 for 4, or no. You know, 5 strikeouts or whatever. You know,
no one wants to do that. Trust me.
No, but there might be something with that dad power, because I remember that was a thing when Trout had his kid, I believe last season, and he came in and I think that first week hit like 2 or 3 home runs. We're like, oh, yeah. It's a dad power. It's a dad thing. So hopefully that happens to you and you're already well on your way to that. So another thing that we've talked about offline through DMs and stuff like that is golfing. I'm a big golfer. Yes. You're a big golfer. Tell me, when did you start doing that? When did you start golfing?
Well, so, I mean, we were 2000, it was 2020, COVID. My buddy was in dental school. He had like three of his, there was him and two other buddies that were like, they wanted to go to like the 9-hole course down the street. We have a nice 9-hole course in our town. They're like, hey, Dave, you want to golf? And I was like, I mean, like, not really. I'm not going to hit it straight. I'll go though. And they're like, yeah, come. So the first like three holes, I sliced the ball real bad. And then I aimed like way left and like just like hit a grounder to the left. And I kind of became addicted because I couldn't hit the ball straight. I think I hit one like 5-iron, like straight as an arrow, but I didn't know how far a 5-iron went. So it went like way past the green. And I was just addicted since then. So there's been 2020. I started going to the driving range after that to try to figure it out. And like, by no means do I have a pretty golf swing, but ball goes pretty straight and I'm pretty good now.
There you go.
I mean, I'm not good, but like I'll be in the off season, I'll be between like a 76 and like an 84. So yeah. And right now we'll golf on the off days and I'm usually sitting around an 85 right now. So I'm playing well, but yeah, no, it's been since COVID, like I needed something to do. And
that's so many people I know.
Yeah. A lot of us, like a lot of the guys didn't get obviously invited to the
Long Beach.
Long Beach camp. It was a lot of just the prospects pretty much in the 40 man, the younger prospects. And so I just killed time with golf and it was awesome. I hit twice a week off my buddy with the Marlins and then I would just golf. Nice.
That's it's funny too, because I just took my wife out for the first time. She's starting right now. And we were on the course and she looks at me and she's like, man, for as much as you play, you think you would be better. I'm like, yep, that's exactly how I feel too.
But, it's sad though, because you can play real good one day and then you're just like awful the next time you play. It's just so inconsistent.
Oh yeah. And then you said about like being like addicted to it and getting kind of drawn into it. Is that like your competitive? Because obviously you have to be a crazy competitive person to be in, you know, gone this far in your career. Did that obviously have to play a part in it too? Just being competitive and wanting to go out there and just be better because that's in you.
Yeah, I think it's like you're not competing against other people really. I mean, you are if you like do like if you play like little gambling games or something, right. But like you're competing against yourself, you know, like it's always like you're trying to improve your best score. You're trying to just bring your handicap down. And so there's not really many sports where you can, and there's also no sport that there's not really any sports where you can play against people any age, you know? So it's right. Like you can play against like a 10-year-old and you can go play like with a 75-year-old, you know? So like you meet a lot of cool people on the golf course. And I mean, I've met some friends now on the golf course that like we stay in touch, and it's just cause like you just golf with them. So right. it's a fun time. And I really enjoy just being out there, especially in the morning. Like I don't like waking up too early, but in the off season, I'll wake up early to go golf in the morning. It's just probably my favorite. It's by far my favorite hobby now. So
yeah. Yeah. I like, I'm an early person as far as going golfing too. Cause out here in California, if you wait too long, especially during the summer, it gets up there temperature wise. But out of your teammates on the Bees right now, who is probably like your number one golf buddy?
So, I mean, we'll organize a decent amount of, like we'll do like pretty much a tournament a week. Nice. We'll have like 12 guys out there. Usually I'll do like a little, I'll type up a golf preview, kind of like,
that's awesome.
I'll throw something together and kind of, making fun of everyone, in their golf game and any crazy things that happened in the baseball games prior. And so we did a little, like Ryder Cup type thing like this past week. And,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was fun. Who won? It was Wallach, Keane, Dylan Thomas, and Jack Mayfield beat me, Stefanik, Matty Theis, and Wance. So we had a good little time, but I'd say like the people I've golfed with the most would be, I love golf. Stefanik, because I golfed with him last year too, you know. I love golfing with Maddie. He's pretty funny. DT is funny. Dylan Thomas. Mm-hmm. He's enjoyable to golf with. Who else? Oh, Bet, our hitting coach. He's good. And I've golfed with Wance a decent amount too. Yeah. So those are the guys I've golfed with the most. I just golfed with Jack for the first time, Mayfield, and he's a good time. So I would like to golf with him again.
Yeah, I actually talked to Wance probably before the season started and asked him the same question about that. And he brought up Stefanik being a really good player.
Stefanik's fun to golf with. Yeah. He like for a small dude, he hits the piss out of the ball. Like he hits the ball far.
And that's so funny too, because I'll play against, like you said, you know, you'll mix and match with people, especially if you don't have a foursome. And there's people that are probably like half my size. Like I'm not a small dude, but I don't think I'm a huge dude either. But he's like half my size. And I'm like, wow, he outdrove me by, you know, 10 yards. I'm like, how do they do that?
Yeah. Like Stefanik has like a club head speed of like around 200, you know?
Oh my God.
Yeah. Or not club head. His ball speed's ball around speed, 200. Yeah. Yeah. It's wild. Like he's got PGA ball speed.
That's crazy.
So yeah. And I'm like, and then Maddie, like I'm one of the, like I do more like the John Rahm backswing where I don't go all the way back. Cause when I go all the way back, I can't hit it straight. And Maddie Theiss is like, he's like, Dave, you literally hit a baseball farther than you hit a golf ball. I'm like, yeah, it's not that bad, but like, yeah, you got a point. I got to hit the golf ball farther. Cause they all hit it. Like they just take big hacks. They'll hit it like 330. Like when they hit it good. And I'll just be like 40 yards behind them at like 280 if I get it good.
Yeah. It's funny though, because that's how like it is with my dad too. My dad doesn't drive nearly as far as me and my brother, but he's consistently in the fairway, and I'm just like, and he competes that way. And I'm like, man, because my brother's off this way, I'm off the other way. He's just
that's 40
yards,
game.
40 yards back, but he's dead in the fairway.
That's my I'm game. Like, I'm 40 yards back and I'm hitting like 3 irons higher than them, but I mean, we all score similar, so
that's crazy. Who is the guy that just show up in your opinion? Who's this guy that will just show up just right at tee time, not even warm up, just put on his shoes and go?
If it was up to him and no one forced him to be there, Keen Wong. He goes, "What time's tee time?" Every time. "What time's tee time?" And we're like, "It's like 7:45, dude." "All right, I'll be there at 7:44. It's all right. But we forced him out on the range last time. But no, that would be Keen.
How are you? Serious guy on the course? Or are you a guy that will crack a couple open, you know, around the turn?
It depends on the time the round is, you know. And just like if it's an afternoon round and like we're just hanging out, yeah, I'll crack a couple open. But morning round, no, it's too early, you know. But yeah, no, for sure. Like if it's later in the day, yeah, for sure. I don't like drinking heavily on the golf course because then you can't play good, you know.
Right.
I want to be able to play good still. Yeah. So I mean, 2 or 3 beers, it sounds good to me.
Yeah, I don't know if you watched the match that has happened with.
We watched it until we had to go play.
Right, and then I think that reminded me of was Mahomes cracking them open after like the third hole or something or something like that when he was playing, and I was like, oh, there you go. He needs to get that little extra.
Yeah.
Extra little juice.
There's like that. There's that. You're teetering. You know, if you drink one too many, all of a sudden you can't hit the ball straight. But if you're at that like good. That good, like 2 to 3. It's like, oh wow, I'm locked in.
So, with you and golf, what is your standard stocked 7 iron? I always like to kind of judge the distance off of that.
Yeah,
like,
what's your stock? Probably 175 or so.
Okay,
that's stock, which is kind of like pretty average, honestly.
I'm trying to think what of mine is. Yeah, I think mine's probably a little bit less than that, but close to it.
Yeah. And then like some of the guys I play with, like Stefanik had a 7 iron like 205.
Yeah,
I'm like, dude, people on tour don't hit 7 irons 205. I'm like, Rory hits a 7 iron 205. So it's like, yeah, it's kind of crazy, you know. But I'd say 175 and then 190. Yeah. Yeah, probably about that. So
yeah, it sounds like you guys are having a lot of fun out there. Definitely.
Oh yeah, we're
definitely jealous of that.
We definitely enjoy it. This is a fun team that the Angels put together. I think everyone really enjoys being around each other, and I mean it helps too. Like you get away from the field, you golf with each other.
Yeah,
like,
decompress.
Yeah, and just I mean everyone enjoys hanging out on the road too. Like we got to go out to dinner as a team Sunday night, I believe it was, in Sacramento, when we had to fly back the next day. So that was enjoyable too. So,
all right, David, I want to thank you again for jumping on. It was fun talking again. Congratulations again on Player of the Month, but obviously bigger congratulations on your baby boy and everything that you have been doing for the Bees this season. It's great to see you putting up some crazy numbers up there.
Awesome. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Let me talk about our next sponsor, ColorCast. ColorCast is a live, audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and free to use. Talk to fans, athletes, and interact in real time. Perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. All you need to do is download the ColorCast app, free in the iOS App Store. Create a profile and link your Twitter. That's all. Come with your spectacular takes. And I want to thank David once again for jumping on the podcast. Had a lot of fun talking to him. We've talked on direct messages on Instagram for quite a bit now, going back and forth just about baseball and talking about obviously golf, his golf game, my golf game, and how we compare, even though I don't compare. I tell him all the time I would make him and the other guys look really good if we ever got out there. So definitely something to do on my bucket list if that ever happens. Get out there and play around a golf with some of these guys that I've gone to know play golf consistently or more regularly. So great story. I'm rooting for him. And if he has the opportunity to get a chance at the major league level, I'm sure he is the type of guy that would take full advantage of it. And especially too, at that first base position, you're always talking about coming into the year about platooning Jared Walsh and how that would look like and who would be the right-hander to him being a left-hander. And quite honestly, David McKinnon would be a great platoon guy for the Angels if that ever comes up. But hopefully we see him in the major league sometime soon. He has definitely worked his ass off to get to where he's at, coming back from the injury, coming back and just totally retooling his swing to what works now. So that's a great story, and I want to thank him again for taking time out and talking with me about his minor league career and where he's at right now, and obviously his golf game. So that's going to wrap it up for this special edition of the All Angels Podcast, talking to David McKinnon. I'm your host, Daniel Garcia. Have a good day.
I want to tell you a story. It's a story about a scandal, broken relationships, gossip, rumors, money, corporate rivalry, and a broom. A performance-enhancing broom. My name is John Cullen. I'm a comedian, podcaster, and for 20 years, I was a semi-professional curler. And I want to tell you the story about how a single broom almost imploded the 500-year-old sport of curling.
We felt like we were bringing a knife to a gunfight.
It's the story of a superstar and his fall from grace.
Well, I was being dragged through the mud.
It's the story of two brother entrepreneurs with a dream.
Yeah, I said, that's great news.
It's a story of intrigue.
I still don't understand why we want to keep his name secret.
The full story has never been told, so I'm going to tell it. Broomgate, how a broom almost killed curling.
It was a year I'd like to forget.
To listen to Broomgate, search for Broomgate in your favorite podcast app. That's all one word, Broomgate.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The NBA Finals are heating up. Looking for hot takes on all the postseason action? The Old Man and the Three, presented by BMW, is the podcast to listen to for the ultimate finals coverage. Host and former NBA sharpshooter J.J. Redick not only has a plugged-in perspective on the action from his time in the league, but he's also announcing the games in real time for ESPN. J.J. has the ultimate insider point of view, and he's taking you along for the ride as he breaks down the best defensive schemes, dunks, and drives from each game. And speaking of incredible drives, there's no better place to tune into your new favorite podcast, The Old Man and the Three, than in a standard-setting BMW. Luxury meets power to create a wholly new driving experience. Push the limits this NBA season with the brand that set the ultimate standard, BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.